Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Tiki's on a rampage. And so because of that, I get this vibe he's taking NFL picks very seriously. So even though he's out today, he immediately texted the group chat an audio pick for tonight's game.
Audio memo. I looked down my phone because when, I don't know if you get this on your messages, I don't see exactly what they sent, but I saw Tiki Barber sent one audio message, and that's rare for Tiki.
Yeah, I've never actually heard him send an audio message.
And yeah, I knew he was out today. I'm like, what the hell could he be saying? And as soon as I clicked, I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
No ask. He's all over it.
That's how serious he's taking these picks. So what I would advise you when we make these picks at around 5:45 tonight, you could ignore me. You could ignore Tommy and Sean. Pay attention to Tiki. He has been on fire. He is doing his research. And look, the results are the results. You know, we could all sit here and brag or run ourselves down. Results are results, and Tiki has been amazing. Yeah. So we'll get to that later.
Can't wait.
What's the game tonight? Oh, yeah, Steelers-Bengals.
I actually think it's a fun game.
It is a fun game.
Two of the oldest quarterbacks in football, if not the oldest.
It's a really fun sports night without stress because you have the Thursday night game, you have all three hockey teams playing, and you have two baseball games with the Mariners now ain't luck anymore with the way the Blue Jays responded last night, 2-1.
Fascinating.
And you got Dodgers-Brewers. So think about that. Three hockey games, two baseball games, a football game.
And if you hate the Blue Jays, Yankee fans, don't worry. No biggie. Rangers got your back. Nice little win.
Do they? They're going to score a goal tonight?
They score on the road.
Oh, that's right. They're on the road. They'll be fine.
Yeah. So tough spot for Blue Jay fans tonight, too.
Well, oh, that's right. Rangers are playing the Leafs.
Yeah, and they care more about hockey, let's be honest.
Yeah, but you know what? We care more about baseball than hockey, but if the Rangers are in the Eastern Conference Finals versus a Tuesday night Met or Yankee game, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Depends who we're talking to, really.
You know what? Go get the Slippery Pete in Canada. I want to know Toronto's ratings tomorrow.
All right, let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019, reacting to a Yankee day. Aaron Boone met the media. Brian Cashman met the media. Then Brian Cashman met us. He spoke to us at about 2:30. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. One quick takeaway. We've talked about a lot of things Cash has said to us, and we'll continue to get your responses. One of the things he has said, and I do disagree with this, is how to handle Aaron Judge. There is a moment, there is a time, I think the Mets are going to do this with Juan Soto at some point, where you move somebody to first base. Not because it's an easy position to learn, but because it does take the stress off your body. And also, as you age, it's just an easier position to play in terms of what it puts on your body. I'm not there yet with Soto. That's a debate for a different day. I'm getting there with Judge because of this injury concern. Now, I brought this up to Brian, and he said, look, we looked at the elbow, we looked at the MRI, we're feeling good. We're not overly concerned about this being a thing again. I guess the way I view it, Sean, is he's going to be 34 next year.
Right.
So a lot of it is not just, is the injury going to ramp back up? It's, he's 34. And I think the more you play a position, the better you're going to get. Bryce Harper has turned himself into a pretty damn good first baseman, especially with the position being sort of open right now. I know Ben Rice could be the first baseman. We'll see. Is this not the moment to say, let's start the transition to first base? I lean towards the answer being yes.
And even if not full time, I certainly would have him do it enough where maybe he plays there 30 times this year, gets comfortable with it, and you start increasing it year by year. I think in a perfect world, they'd like to probably do this as you phase Giancarlo out in another 2-3 years, and then you kind of have that flexibility first base DH between him and Ben Rice.
I think it makes sense.
I do too. Now, the only thing I would wonder is, you talk about the arm. He's so tall, and it takes so much bending up and down. I don't know.
What does that mean?
Is he too tall to be a fluid first baseman?
Is it too tall to be a first baseman?
I feel like Francesa...
You want to be tall to be a first baseman.
I feel like the Francesa, can you kick with both feet question. I understand how this sounds, but I've thought about that in my head.
Here's all I know, all right? I am not good at a lot of athletic things. In fact, some may say I'm bad at every athletic thing. The one thing athletically I was very good at because of hard work was my defense at first base. I will take pride in that. You can make fun of everything else about my athletics, and I'll own it. I will, because how could I argue it? I could pick it like Rico at first base. There's a reason why the podcast is called Rico Bronya. But the one critique I would always get was something I couldn't change. You're not tall enough. Huh. And so to hear you now say,
well, he's a giant.
He's too tall. It's first base.
There's a lot of bending, dude.
I understand, but what about all the high throws?
Oh, well, that's true, too.
I forgot if he was great defensively, but Richie Sexson was taller than Aaron Judge good and played call. First base. But he might have stunk. Evan, I lean on you. Was he good? I don't remember.
No, he ended up DH'ing a lot.
I don't know. It's just when you look at first base, I understand you want to be taller. He's so gigantic. It's rare.
I think inevitably Aaron Judge is going to become a DH or first baseman. So to me at 34, and it's crazy to think he's going to be 34. That is like insane to me. I would try to move on that process, especially when the position is open. Now, what would I do with Ben Rice? I think there are some options. He could learn another position or, because I have some creative Yankee ideas.
Trade him.
One idea. No. Trade Austin Wells. Ben Rice is your catcher. And get yourself a good defensive right-hand hitting catcher. Remember, A-Rod said they had too many left-hand hitting catchers. Get yourself a good, solid defensive backup catcher. And Ben Rice catches 4 days a week. He DHs a couple of times. But he is your most-of-the-time catcher. That's a thought.
I don't hate it, but I'm not giving away Wells for nothing. I would never suggest that. I know.
When I say trade a player, it is not... Just give him away. No. It's don't you think Austin Wells would actually have pretty good value?
That's my question.
Yes.
I totally agree that I wouldn't give him away for nothing. I'm just curious what you get for an Austin Wells.
I think he could be a part of a bigger package.
You like big packages.
Well, no, whatever. Let's get to your call. He's such a pervert over there.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, you.
I was talking about trades.
Let's go. I'm sure you did. Let's go to Andrew in Port Washington. What's up, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. Hi, guys. Couple of things. I totally agree that Judge needs to, at 34, he's not gonna last in the outfield, but I don't agree at all with first base. I think you got to move him to DH. He's a 282-pound body. He's not going to be able to dive for balls. He's going to get injured. You got to protect his long-term. He's a long-term asset that you have to protect.
I think that's fine. It's kind of what Sean said about first base. The one thing I would say about DH is I'm not ready to make him the most of the time DH. And also the construction of this current roster doesn't allow it. Now, if you want to have more DH days for him, and this year it actually worked out that way because, remember, he ended up with 95 games in the outfield and 56 games at DH, which is a far cry from what it looked like, you know, last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that number kind of being steady like that, where you say I'm going to DH him more, but not to be an everyday DH. He's too much of a positive defensively in right field. So if you're going to keep him in right field, keep him in right field. If you're going to convert him to another position, that's a different story.
Damn it. What are you saying? On the way home, you wish you could ask Cashman more?
What do you got?
That's the question. Hey, Giancarlo Stanton showed he could still play a little right field. Are we looking to more split up the DH and right field reps between the two next year?
Nah, I can give you his answer on that.
What would be his answer?
Well, let me try in the Cashman voice. The roster construction could be, we don't know. We don't know who's going to be available, how we're going to do it, you know. A lot of things are on the table.
Okay. So the greater point, though, is with Giancarlo Stanton, you need him. But at the same time, if it takes Judge off his feet and playing right field to play more like that, I would be more open to doing that.
Let's hear from our buddy John in Massbeth. What's going on, Johnny?
Listen. Aaron Judge is turning 34 in April, right? If you want to look at what the age 34 does to certain players, just look at players like Cabrera and Pujols, all right? Now, listen. The other day, I made a little tweet out that somehow got 3.5 million views, and it said to trade for Paul Skeens and get the Pirates the Somerset Patriots team. And I'm serious.
I get it. Look.
Give the Padres the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rare Riders.
Pirates.
Give the Pirates the Somerset Patriots. Give the Angels the Tampa Tarpons. And just go all in and screw these minor leaguers. Rebuild the farm system by getting guys from the Rule 5 draft. Get people off the Savannah Bananas. I don't care. Go all in. Screw the farm system. Rebuild the farm system eventually. I don't care.
John.
Savannah Bananas. Take some of those players. Put them on a minor league. Yeah.
John. You already made the bananas joke.
What was this video that got 3 million views? Are you aware of this?
Well, I can tell you he didn't get 3 million in one views because I have no idea what he's talking about.
I'm curious what he did because John does a lot of interesting to strange things on social media. Like when Soto signed, he started driving around Citi Field cursing at the building, which got a lot of views. So I don't know what he's referring to, But I'm going to make things easy for you.
You're going to look at, do you want me to do this? Do I have to look up his Twitter account?
Yeah, look up his Twitter account while I make this
point. Do I have more than 90 seconds?
You got as much time as you want, because I want to make this very clear to the audience, because this is going to be a discussion that will not go away. You talk about sports talk radio, long-term topics. Paul Skeens will be talked about on this station for years, until he's traded. Honestly, until that moment happens, that name will come up. It will come up this winter. It will come up this spring. It will come up this summer. It will come up all the time. And I'm going to save you the time on this. Brian Cashman is willing to trade the Pittsburgh Pirates whatever they want. David Stearns will be willing to trade the Pittsburgh Pirates whatever they want. The moment that Ben Cherington and the Pittsburgh Pirates decide, you know what, we're a small market, baby, and they'll probably wait till there's a new CBA. Why not? You never know what the sport's going to look like. I think teams like the Mets and the Yankees will be willing to offer whatever it takes. But as of right now, he's not available. So screaming about it, I get it. Brian probably agrees with you. Brian, he won't admit this, but Brian's probably like, of course. When he was asked at the trade deadline who's touchable and who's untouchable, remember that whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
I know what he was thinking. I know what his air bubble was. His air bubble was, well, yeah, for Camilo Duvall, there's some untouchables. But for Paul Skeens, there's no such thing as an untouchable. So
some more touchables than others.
Yeah, and that's what he meant by that. What he meant by that, and I have the utmost confidence this is the case, same thing with Stearns, is that if the day that man becomes available, the Brinch truck will open. And they will offer, beyond prospects, they'll offer other things that we can't even imagine. It would make the Clippers owner Stephen Ballmer brush. Stephen Ballmer?
Yeah, and blush, not
Ballmer,
brush.
Whatever his first name is. It's not Stephen, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I got it right. Okay. Not in basketball season mode yet. So don't worry about that. The day this man becomes available, we're all going to town.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the big payoff here.
Yes.
Boy, get in line behind Ozzie and Woodbridge, because this is a real letdown. There isn't a video that got 3.5 million views. It was the stupid call he put into tweet form. Hypothetical trade scenario. Yankees get Paul Skeens. Pirates get Somerset Patriots with breaking news. A picture of Paul Skeens and a picture of the Somerset Patriots logo. And it got 74 retweets and 3.5 million views.
Oh, that's what he was bragging about?
Ugh.
All right.
John, hand the ball to the ref.
Hand the ball to the ref. But I get it. Look, the Skeens thing is not going away. And so I get it. I think we all agree. I put Joe on the, what's it called when you put someone to have to answer a question?
Hot seat.
Hot seat. Yeah, we can go with that. I put Joe on the hot seat a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I said, hey, Joe, would you give up Nolan McClain for Paul Skeens? And he went, and eventually he said no. I think I did it with you the other day with Cam Schlittler. I'll do it again just for anyone who missed it. Would you include Cam Schlittler in a trade for Paul Skeens?
Yes.
Of course you would. You can do it with me. Want to play the game? Ask me.
Would you put Nolan McClain in a trade for Paul Skeens?
I would.
Okay.
I'll go as far as it takes. Because when you're talking about someone with that kind of talent at this age, with that kind of controllability, there is no. Tarik Skubal's a little different. I mean, Tarik Skubal only has one more year of control. That's a little bit more complicated. But when it comes to Paul Skeens, who may already be the second best pitcher in baseball, he probably is after Skubal. One could argue he's number one. There is no price that would make me blush. It would just be like, okay, whatever. Okay, Jet Williams, see ya. Cool first name. Sorry.
Now, if I offered you, and you don't know what the injuries are going to be or anything, the next 12 years, you could have Paul Skeens pitching for the Mets, or we get a dome on Citi Field. What do you think?
You're asking me what I prefer?
What do you prefer?
Oh, I think I'd go with Skeens. I'm a sucker for pitching.
As a season ticket holder?
Yeah, give me the
with
pitcher.
With kids and rainouts?
Every 5 days of that?
Retractable. Just look at fireworks night.
Every 5 days of a dominant, maybe guy who could go down as an all-timer? You're talking to the wrong guy. You know how I feel about pitching.
Give me a dome over Skeens at Yankee Stadium.
Would you?
Yeah, definitely.
Would you go dome or Skeens, Tommy?
I'm going Skeens. But I'm also wondering if Juan Soto and his mom got one suite, how many suites does Livy Dunn and the Real Housewives of the Hamptons get? I mean, that's a scene at Citi Field.
For those that were playing at home, this was all a test. It was all a game. It was all set up. How long would it take for either Sean or Tommy to bring up Paul Skeens' girlfriend?
But it's part of it.
And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it was a game. Yeah. I'm not criticizing you. The answer is 3.5 minutes. It was not that long.
In fact, I just gave John and Maspeth his next tweet that'll get 3 million views. Just put her name on a tweet and you'll get 3 million.
I'm sure. Let's go to Justin and... It's true. I mean, Tommy's not wrong. Justin's in Belmore. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Justin?
What's up?
Nothing much. I have to go off a little bit on really a lot of the Yankee fans, and especially Sean, the human mozzarella stick, as I think of him as. But, you know, at a certain point, you know, Brian Cashman is not going to be here anymore. And Yankee fans are going to rue the day that that happens.
Based on what?
I know he's not perfect, but he is a guy that goes out every year and tries to make the team better. You can't help the fact that Max Fried spit the bit against the Blue Jays. Can't help the fact that, you know, Aaron Judge, well, you know, he had a lot of singles. I know he had his big home run, but he did not, you know, kept the series going against the Blue Jays with the, you know, his big strikeout with the bases loaded. Like, it's not all on Cashman and Boone. Oh.
It's actually a really good point that nobody wants to hear, which is this team was good enough to win a world championship. They did not play well at the right time. And a lot of people want to make it about roster construction or their strategy. And the reality is it's not. It's Max Fried. I think he nailed it. Max Fried pitched his worst game at the worst possible time. Everyone not named Aaron Judge started slumping at the worst possible time. I don't think it's more complicated than that.
But who's saying it's only on Cashman and Boone? Of course, like, players have to perform and everything. But again, like we talked about yesterday with the single, in case you missed it, Brian Cashman's first year as the general manager of this team was Ernie Accorsi's first year as the Giants general manager. It just comes to a certain point in time where you keep running it out there, keep running it out there, keep running it out there. Justin basically implied, you know, hey, look, you know, he goes, we're going to rue the day. That's where I disagree with Evan, too. I don't think by bringing another GM in here who has the ability to spend $380 million a year, you know what I mean? I don't think that suddenly prohibits you from winning 90 games. I just disagree with that.
Anthony Staten Island, what's up, Anthony?
Thank you very much, guys. Unless I missed it, I would have liked to hear somebody ask Cashman, what's the chance of Lombard starting the season next year?
Yeah, I thought about it, and I'll tell you the reason I didn't ask it, because he's not. And so I don't need to waste our time asking a question that, to me, is very obvious. The kid at 215 in AA, he's not ready. He's 20 years old. He's a prospect, and I think if he performs well in the minor leagues, there's a chance he gets on the radar late in the season, but more likely 2027. So that's an example of, man, I...
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Wish we could talk to Cashman for 6 hours. Because there's a million questions we would all want to ask. To me, that one is easy. I feel like I can answer it, which is the kid is not ready yet. Now, the untouchable question is going to apply to the same thing with Paul Skeens. Right. He ain't touchable unless he's available. But I think when you have a 20-year-old shortstop who did not hit at AA, as good as he may be defensively, that kid's not ready.
Yeah, I never thought to ask the question because I thought that was kind of assumed by every Yankee fan. We thought that Lombard was going to be here in 2026.
Let's go to Sean on Long Island. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. I have to dump that. I took care of it.
So are you.
He said something inappropriate. Not at anyone, just accidental cursing for those that are confused by the quick cut that you may have heard on Sports Talk Radio. So if you missed his call, I'll sum it up. Hey, Sean, you're a moron. How could someone be too tall to play first base? You sound like the idiots in Major League who said too high on a 500-foot home run.
And I'm going to defend myself. I opened that statement by saying I understand how stupid this sounds. That's all I was saying. It's abnormal to see a guy that tall playing first base. That is all. That is all. I admit that it was stupid.
You know what really bothers me?
What?
At almost every game I go to, when there is some kind of high pop-up, whether it's a fly ball to left or a fly ball to right or a foul ball, someone in the stands will utter, It's too high. That major league joke has never gone away.
No.
And honestly, it's not funny anymore. Like, you know what else bothered me? There's a few. These have gone away at least. When someone would stand up in a rally and do the angel wings like angels in the outfield.
Oh, I never see that.
Oh, God. Well, they don't see it anymore, but it existed. And it was dumb. Or how about this one? And I haven't heard this one in a while either. Some kid will scream, pitcher's got a big butt.
Oh, pitcher. I missed that.
Oh, you missed that.
Yeah, we want a pitcher, not a belly itcher.
Yeah. Those things died out. You don't hear it as much. But the it's too high line, dude, I hear it in every game.
The other one, and I'm guilty of this too, I get this in every game too. Can of corn!
Yeah, but that's like a phrase, so who
but
cares?
But it's a stupid phrase.
No, it's not.
Nobody in a supermarket catches a can of corn falling off a shelf. It is not 1943
anymore.
I
know, but a lot of phrases come from a long time ago, but it's a phrase, and it's a phrase we all know and understand.
But why?
So why would that be stupid?
Because why would you yell that out at a pop-up the center field?
Because it's a can of corn. Like you're describing up, easy you know play, a can of corn.
Stick to your angel wings take then. Okay.
It's not, I mean, come on.
I brought something to convo you didn't like.
How about this one? And I feel like... I feel like BT would say this at a game, or a Big Mac would say this at the game. Oh, that'd been a home run in a silo. You've heard of that one before?
What's a silo?
What's a silo? Evan's looking at me like he's never heard the phrase.
No, I've heard the phrase.
What a silo.
I don't hear that often. And it's an accusation against BT and Big Mac that feel like
unfair. No, that's baseball lingo.
Yeah, but I don't...
That'd be a home run in a... What is it again? A silo? You screwed me up. Silo,
I just don't think BT or Big Mac would say that.
Oh, I bet you if you asked BT or Big Mac, they have said that once at a baseball game.
That would be a catcher's...
Can you just
and
tell me
silo
what
like a silo is? It's next to a barn. It's like the long thing that you would see next to a barn. So it means it's too high. It's a pop-up. Oh, that'd have been a home run in a silo.
Really? I think I don't like this conversation.
It's because we don't like anything you say, and everything we say, we're like, oh, that makes sense.
You're right.
Yeah, I think
I've
that's what it comes down
to. Nothing to society. Though.
We'll come back with more of your telephone calls at 888-808-1019, and I do want to mix in a little bit of football, because there were some fighting words laid out at the feet of Giants quarterback Jackson Dart. But Jonathan Cooper of the Denver Broncos, I thought, took an interesting shot at Jackson Dart in his media availability. So here's Jonathan Cooper talking about the challenges of facing a good young quarterback like Jackson Dart.
He's a young guy. He's, you know, feeling himself a little bit. He's out there running around. He's got the chain on. He's dancing. You know, I feel like everybody needs something. So, you know. But we've went against QBs who have ran around in the pocket and have, you know, tried to do stuff with their legs. So, ain't nothing we haven't seen.
Seems like he's annoyed by the chain dangling from Jackson Dart's neck.
Yeah, and he doesn't have background. I don't blame him. Jackson Dart's chain is his sister's sparkly chain.
Hold on, before you continue. I don't know what Jackson Dart's chain is about. Is it about to get sentimental and cryy?
No.
Thank God.
It's goofy and silly.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Jackson Dart was home for the holidays at college, okay, and had a bowl game where he was going to then leave home to go back and meet with his team for the bowl game. And on his way out, he popped by his sister and he saw some sparkly chain that she had, which he's still wearing to this day, and he took it, and he played great in the bowl game. And then he took it to mini camp this year, and he's been wearing it ever since.
Oh, so it's a good luck chain?
It's become like a good luck thing. It's a female's sister's chain. He is not wearing that because he thinks he has money now and he thinks he's cool. It's a goofy thing that he wears for good luck. So I just find it funny that somebody in the Denver Broncos basically looks at this as like, paraphrasing, who does this punk think he is with his, you know, chains hanging from him?
No, I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
That's essentially what he thinks. Guy started 3 games in the league. Who the hell is this guy?
You know why I like this quote from Jonathan Cooper? Because it shows for the first time in a long time, the Giants matter, man.
Well, they matter because the Broncos are playing them on
Sunday. No.
He's preparing for a football game.
The Giants matter right now.
Oh,
Cam Scataboo and Jackson Dart became...
Jackson Dart!
Became like the NFL like Twitter thumbnail picture.
Right.
They've been all the talk. We're seeing him on NFL Network constantly, like all the people making all these homage about him.
Sean,
dude, the Denver Broncos are annoyed by his presence.
Sean, they're playing the Giants on Sunday.
Evan,
come on. He's watching tape. He's preparing.
He's annoyed by him.
Well, yes, but not because the Giants are a national story, but because that's the opponent on Sunday.
If it was just about the opponent on Sunday, he wouldn't have brought up the chain. He wouldn't have brought up he is annoyed by the Jackson Dart thing right now. He's annoyed by his presence. He's annoyed by his look. He's annoyed by his swagger. He's annoyed that he's a rookie taking over the league. The Giants have some it to them right now.
Okay.
Teams are annoyed. Okay. By the way, bring on Denver now. You want to talk? It kind of feels like Jackson Dart's the kind of guy, too. Go ahead, poke the bear.
Jackson Dart!
Bring on Denver. Can I give you a factoid about the Denver Broncos?
Absolutely.
They have done an incredible job slowing down mobile quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So we all remember Justin Fields last week. Probably contributed because he's not healthy, but nevertheless, 7 carries for 31 yards. I would like to list off the other quarterbacks that the Broncos have faced and what those quarterbacks have done with their legs. Are you ready?
Yeah, but I already know the research. Go ahead.
Okay. You're smarter than everybody.
No,
so
I'm not.
We can't tell the audience.
You can
because
tell the audience.
You do two giant podcasts.
By the way, and you're right. It's because I've already taped both giant podcasts prior to the show today, and I have gone through the offenses they've played. Go ahead.
If I do that with the Rico, Tommy, slap me across the face. And if I have, fine. You can give me a preemptive slap.
You know what? I'm sorry. You're right.
You're right. Thank you. Justin Fields last week, 7 carries, 31 yards. Jalen Hurts the week before, 2 carries, 3 yards. Jake Browning the week before that, 3 carries, 4 yards. Justin Herbert the week before that, 2 carries, 6 yards. Daniel Jones, pretty mobile, 6 carries, 2 yards, did score a touchdown. And Cam Ward, 0 carries, 0 yards. So the quarterbacks they have faced through the first 6 weeks of the year is combined 20 carries for 46 yards. They have done a very good job, and Jonathan Cooper went on to talk about this. They have done a very good job of bottling up mobile quarterbacks.
Great. That's fine. I have, since last Friday, gone back and rewatched every single Denver Bronco game this year.
No, you haven't.
I have.
There's no way you have enough time in the day.
I do. Train rides back and forth.
You know what the problem with that comment is, Tommy? You know what the problem.
No, there are several problems, but what was the biggest problem you
Your problem is going to be he has no life, and that's fine.
Correct.
To each his own.
Yes.
My biggest problem is, does he put that same effort in to Evan and Tiki?
Absolutely not. Well, zero.
Am I bringing the information to Evan and Tiki or not?
Because here's the thing.
Well,
I put a lot of weird research into the Rico, but Tommy would even admit he does, but he still puts in major effort to this show, correct?
Tons of effort into this show.
So it's just a little concerning. It's almost like, is the podcast too much for you at this point?
Or is it more important to you, which I would lean towards?
Whoa. Guys, what is... Now, Brian Cashman spoke today, and that's been a big topic.
Okay.
What is the main team that is currently playing right now that we are going to be talking about week to week here?
I have an answer. The answer is the Giants, but would you not agree watching the game tape of every Bronco game will more contribute to your two Giant podcasts than to Evan and Tiki? We haven't brought up the Broncos until right now, and it was for 5 minutes before we get back to Cashman.
I was under the impression we're doing a lot of Giants-Broncos tomorrow.
We probably will, but that's one day.
And that was what I was going to bring to the table. It's also, I hate to tell you this, it's not that hard when you're on train rides back and forth.
Can you give us a thumbnail on what you learned from watching all this tape?
Teams have played very much scared, and I would dare to say, outside of Justin Herbert, Jackson Dart's the best quarterback that these teams have seen so far this year.
They face Jalen Hurts.
Okay, now.
Daniel Jones is having an MVP year.
Jackson Dart's better than Daniel Jones, and we know this. The Jalen Hurts.
Wait, say one more time.
Jackson Dart is better than Daniel Jones, and we know this.
Sean,
Daniel Jones here with Brian Daboll in this offensive line.
That's not this season who's having a better year.
In a different scheme.
It doesn't matter who's the better quarterback right now. Jackson Dart has played 3 games.
If you ask the Colts today, trade Daniel Jones for Jackson Dart.
That's not the question.
Evan.
Because that has to do with Yage and contracts.
Apples, we know how Daniel Jones functioned in this offense or in this offense.
You didn't say
Jackson Dart's better.
In this offense, in this situation.
But that's what matters because you can only compare it to apples to apples.
You just said Daniel Jones is clearly. We all know Jackson Dart's a better quarterback than Daniel Jones.
We do know because.
You can't say that.
Yes, we do, because under the same scheme with the same coach, we see who the better player is. I'm sure if Jackson Dart went to Indianapolis,
that's
just
your
fine.
Definitive proof? The guy's having an MVP season this year.
It is definitive
And you're
proof.
Dismissing it because, well, that's like me just killing Sam Darnold because, well, I sucked with the Jets.
Evan,
he's not on the Jets anymore.
Evan, under the same exact offense with the same who is the better quarterback?
That's not the point.
It is the point.
You immediately said we know Jackson Dart is a better quarterback than
proof
Daniel Jones.
Is.
You can't say that three games in his career.
All right. Jalen Hurts, I'll give you. Here's the problem.
Now you give me. He'll give me. It's like a present on Christmas. He gave me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in,
Sean Morash was so sweet. He gave me, just gave it to me like a present, that Jalen Hurts may be better than the great Jackson Dart.
You know what? You're right. Maybe I am doing this research for the podcast because you won't even let me finish.
Because it's asinine.
It's not asinine. Jalen Hurts went into that game and they made a huge effort to try to get A.J. Brown not to be pissy anymore and Devontae Smith, and they stopped running the way they should. They didn't give Saquon basically any carries in the second half. That is why those run numbers are like that.
Okay.
This is going to be a nightmare for the Broncos.
Okay, sure it is.
And by the way, the Giants defense, best defense they've seen all year.
85 Bears?
No. Giants aren't. This is the problem. Everybody's making Denver out to be the 85
No,
Bears.
I'm talking about the Giants. 85 Bears. Right?
No. Far from it. Shane Bowen could never run the
2000 Ravens?
No. How about we just start with the 2025 Giants?
I'm just playing your game.
I mean, I'm saying is the Giants clearly have pissed off some teams in the NFL.
Okay.
Jackson Dart's chain has bothered teams in the NFL. And for somebody that sat there, all of us, Tommy, that have watched all this crap football, it feels good knowing that instead of just coming up to a podium, teams aren't going, yeah, you know, the Giants, good run team. They do things while I'm giving you that cachet stuff. They are channeling personality responses
Tommy,
from opponents.
Would you agree, and this is nothing against you or Tiki, you cannot blame me for rooting against the New York Giants on Sunday.
Oh, I'll take it a step further. I think you're going to hate this Giants team as long as Jackson Dart and Scadaboo are here. Kind of to Sean's point. Number one, because
not
of people.
Not because of them, but because of Sean.
No, but I think it's people like Sean. I could see this team becoming the Rex Ryan Jets, where they're like the heels.
Oh, so you think they could become heelish, too?
We as fans love.
Because I don't think Jackson's a heel yet, by the way.
No, we as fans love. Like, the Giants are now the Savannah Bananas. They do backflips. They paint their face. Like, it's fun for Giant fans.
Yeah.
For opposing fans, the cockiness is going to be a turnoff, and you're going to see this a lot. By the way, Sean, in all the game tape you were watching, did you watch the Giant game against the Saints?
I did.
Against a lesser defense where we turn the ball over five times. And by the way, I'm as optimistic as I want to be here, but you just make me like not want to be optimistic that the Broncos with the best defense in the NFL are going to have issues.
Tommy, I don't think the Giants are going to score 30 points in this game. And the Saints, guess what the Giants did? Move the ball all day long, and the Saints, they just turned the ball over. The Giants do that, they're clearly going to lose the game. And we'll talk about tomorrow morning losing. The point was about the quarterbacks running and everything. What teams have done versus the Denver Broncos, I do think the Giants pose something they have not really seen all year, which is crazy to say because they don't have Malik Nabers.
My biggest takeaway from this conversation is that Sean is kind enough to give us, like a gift, that Jalen Hurts may possibly be better at this point in his career than Jackson.
Well, yeah, but
thank you for that, Sean.
But in context, it wasn't like he was getting swallowed up with the run. They just kind of stopped running.
I would say clip that and send it to Philly, but the Eagle fan is so mad at Jalen Hurts, they'd probably agree.
They would trade Jalen Hurts for Jackson.
You know what? After some of the things I heard, possibly. Real quick, Jonathan Gannon, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, was under some fire because of some of the emotion he showed on the field. Didn't he, like, slap the running back who dropped the ball before he got to the end zone?
Burst the Titans.
He punched him in the belly. So Jonathan Gannon's taking a lot of heat, criticisms, and questions about how emotional he is. So I want to take you to a press conference the other day in which Jonathan Gannon was asked a valid question about his emotions, and his answer left everyone in the media room floored and was stunning to the point where no one knew how to respond. Take a listen.
How early in your career did you have to start trying to figure out how to take the emotion out of coaching as far as when you have all these injuries and you have all these different pieces? When's the first time that you can recall it?
2007, when our quarterback went to jail.
Coach, thank you.
No one responds, and then you get the PR person. All right, thank you. Let's get out of here now.
Coach, thank you. We'll get out of that.
He just dropped without missing a beat. When my quarterback went to jail. He's, of course, referring to Michael Vick. He was the quality control coach in Atlanta when the dogfighting ring came out, and obviously Vick served his time. Oh. What a response.
And by the way, completely straight-faced as he says it, too. And it's not funny that Michael Vick went to jail, none of that, but it's funny.
We know the deal.
What?
No one's laughing at dogs. No one's laughing at Vick. We're laughing at Jonathan Gannon.
The way he deadpan said it.
He's got that look, and I remember when I was dating, I was warned about this look. He's got the crazy look. Yeah. Jonathan Gannon's got that look of, like, I don't know if I want to hang out. I'd be afraid. Like, anything can happen at any moment. He can say anything. He could do anything. He may just randomly punch me in the face. Like, Jonathan Gannon, maybe a good coach, by the way. He's got that. You were warned about that too, Tommy. Got to be careful. Well, they have the crazy look.
As far as girls, there's good crazy. There's bad crazy. There's good crazy that could be a freak. But as far as from a guy perspective, what's wrong with that? What, that was ambiguous.
Okay, sure.
All right. Sure. Spence, if you're listening, turn the television off. Now, as far as guys, as far as being Jonathan Gannon, I call that a wild card. Meaning if you bring a guy like that on a bachelor party, he could either make the trip or he could break the trip,
yeah,
to your point.
Yeah, I mean, he may turn out to be like the greatest coach ever. Like, sometimes crazy can work, but that answer and the vibe I'm getting from him now is that he's that crazy guy.
Yeah, you don't want to be with that guy on a bachelor trip. You don't want to be like, it's midnight and you're looking around.
But
like,
he can make the trip, though.
Yeah, see, Tommy and I are different, and clearly you are. Tommy's a wild guy. Like, he'll go out and have some fun. I just want to go home. So for someone like me, I don't even want to look at that guy. I don't want to deal with it.
No.
For Tommy, it could be the greatest Saturday night ever, or it could end with everyone naked and broke. Like, it's always on the
table. That's a title for Evan's next book, Naked and Broke. Naked and Broke. I like that.
Jonathan Gannon's a guy you end up hanging out with, and you don't realize how you've gotten in a situation where, like, you've got to make a judgment call at night.
Yes.
I'm not doing that.
I grew out of that when I was 20. Because I did have a fakeish ID, so I was doing that before 21.
Were you in McLovin, Hawaii? Where was it based at?
You know, it was a weird spot. I was above my age because I was working with everyone in their mid-20s.
Right.
And I was 19, 20 when I was working over at this other place.
Uh-huh.
And so I had no choice. And so it wasn't even like a fake ID. You know what it was? They just got me in. It was one of those things.
I didn't actually
do anything illegal. It was
smoking
just
a doobie.
It was just, hey, let him in, and I'm in. And before you know it, it's, grew out of that face.
Just picture
quickly
the club music playing. Hey, what do you guys think of David Segui's on base percent?
That only happened once. Let's go to Michael in Maplewood. What's going on today, Michael?
Thanks, Evan. Hey, do you guys know what a red herring is?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Sean doesn't, right, so you may need to explain.
No. It's a big thing in TV. I know a red herring.
Okay, then what is it, Sean?
Red herring is you throw something out there that makes you look there when you really should be looking the other way.
That's exactly right.
I'm impressed. Good job out of him. All right, so what do you got with a red herring?
An intentional distraction. I think this debate over whether it's Cashman or Boone making decisions in the dugout is a red herring. The lie that Cashman keeps telling, that nobody has confronted him on, in my opinion, it's not about whether he or Boone is managing this team. The lie is that the goal that the Yankee front office sets out every year is the same as it's always been, winning the World Series. Let me put it to you this way. Name a business, let's say like GM or any business, that publicly states a business goal and then misses it year after year after year without making a single organizational change. It's ridiculous. The lie is that the Yankee front office isn't achieving the goal.
I think, obviously. Okay, but to answer that criticism of the Yankees, here's what I think is going on. And I've heard Keith use this term, Keith McPherson. It's a great term. He says, I want the Yankees to stack the deck. And when he first said that, I wasn't really sure. And I listened to him a lot more, and I understood what he meant. He's like, I want the Yankees, and if I'm quoting him wrong, he obviously can correct me, but this is the way I interpreted it, which is, I want you to be so aggressive, kind of like the old days, where we are so much better than everybody else, that the deck is stacked. We're going to win. And I think the best definition of stacking the deck would be the LA Dodgers.
Yes.
They've stacked the deck. It doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series every year. It means...
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
They are so loaded with talent that even in years that don't go perfectly, they still can win it because they're so stacked. The Yankees don't stack the deck anymore. They try to win a championship. They spend a lot of money, but they don't stack the deck. And a perfect example of stacking the deck, at least again, the way I interpret it, because it's Keith's line that I am borrowing for this discussion, is the Yankees in 1998 were the greatest team of all time. I will go to my grave thinking that until someone proves it differently. Do you remember what they did in the offseason?
Going into 1998?
No, following year. They were the greatest team of all time. They had won two championships in three years.
What did they
add? And they were the greatest team of all time.
Was that Clemens?
They traded for Roger Clemens. That is stacking
the deck, at least how I interpret it. So the Dodgers win the World Series. They literally won the World Series. And what do they do? And by the way, all these things I'm about to say have not even worked. They got Roky Sasaki. They got Tanner Scott. They got Blake Snell. Yep. That's a better example. Probably should have led with that. They stacked the deck. They said, who cares that we won the World Series? Let's go get more. And Kirby Yates, even though those things didn't work out. And so I think what our last caller is saying, and it's the same thing I think Keith bemoans, is that it's not that the Yankees don't try. It's not that the Yankees aren't trying to win a World Series. They do not stack the deck, A, like they used to, or like the Dodgers do. Is that described well, ladies and gentlemen?
No, it definitely is. They do enough to make sure.
Is Keith on tonight? Ask him if I described it well, because that's his line, and I've heard him say it a lot, and finally hit me the other day.
He's 1,000% right.
Well, I don't know if I'm interpreting it right.
No, stacking the deck, I think that's the right term. Okay. Some others would say, you know, leave no stone unturned. The Yankees, there are several stones that are left sitting where they are. They don't overturn them.
Yes. Yeah, that's how I think I would interpret it. Yes.
Some might call that a red herring.
It all comes full circle. Joe is in the Bronx. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, Evan, what's going on, brother? How you doing, Sean? First of all, great, great job.
Well, we try. Thank you very much. What's up?
So, what do you think of this kind of hypothetical? A three-way trade with San Diego-Baltimore, right? Where we get back from San Diego, Luis Arraez, and maybe Tatis.
Well, I got great news for you. Luis Arraez is a free agent, so that you don't have to make a trade. Mm. Luis Arraez is going to be a very interesting name for Met fans and for Yankee fans because he offers a skill set that very few teams have or players have. He puts the bat on the ball, and he does it at a level that is really uncommon. Now, what comes with Luis Arraez is no power. What comes with Luis Arraez is mediocre defense. What comes with Luis Arraez is that he's a one-trick pony, but that trick that he has is so much better than everybody else, which is putting the bat on the ball. And I think if you're either team, the Mets or the Yankees, if you supply enough pop and speed and defense in other areas, it is kind of positive to have a guy on your team who supplies that skill. So I would not be against acquiring him. I just think we all need to realize that the bad that comes with a player that has that skill.
I think you put it perfectly. If you do enough of the other things, I think it's totally fine. And the Yankees right now are set up where they do enough of those other things. I'd be very much interested in a
relationship. Where would you play him? He's a first baseman. He's a second baseman. You could DH him.
I know. Does it become one of those things where he kind of is DJ LeMahieu?
Yes.
Where, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, the Padres, in a way, have used him in that regard. Like, he can play second. He can play first. He can DH.
Work. The problem is you got to clear that with Jazz. Make sure he's not talking to coat hangers every time he's at a second base.
I don't know where he fits the Yankees, honestly. Like, I'm trying to think, because you do have Jazz Chisholm, and I think Ben Rice is going to be the most of the time first baseman, and Stanton is going to DH, and Judge may DH more. Like, I think the Mets, because of the uncertainty at both first base, second base, and DH, like, literally, we do not know who are going to occupy those positions. The Yankees have guys under contract.
Unless they have a surprise trade.
Have a surprise trade.
Maybe Jazz gets traded this offseason.
But I think, it's on the table. I like Jazz Chisholm.
I do too, but I don't think you could rule anything out, especially the way the playoffs unfolded.
You would trade him because of the playoffs?
I'm not saying I would. Are we sure that the Yankees are thrilled with the idea, the way he handled himself after that?
So you're going to trade him because of him being angry that he didn't play?
No. That could sway
you. Is the reason you would trade Jazz Chisholm? Is it playoff failures? No. Is it the coat hanger discussion back to the media? Like, what is it? Because he's a really good baseball player.
I agree. It would be flexibility around the infield, where maybe you do want to add an Arraez, and the idea of, you know what, we have a bunch of guys who could swing for the fences and strike out a bunch, and we're going to get a little more lineup flexibility.
Sean's got a Cinco de Fivo. Do you want to give us like a nice little niblet of a hint on what that Cinco is going to be about in a few minutes?
My five biggest takeaways from both Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman tonight. Uh-huh.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Gio.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.